spot to the left of the painting and approached Selena's side to face the painting directly. Selena unsheathed the claws on the hand she had tucked behind her, monitoring Ivy's every breath. Ivy said,
"You sound like a cyborg with that helmet."
Selena bit her lip to keep from laughing again. Ivy pointed with a green wrapped finger to the painting.
"Here's the deal. We split it 50-50.
90-10. Be grateful you get a million out of capitalizing on my hard work."
Ivy shook her head, red hair catching in the moonlight, some of those blossoms opening once more.
60-40.
85-15 and stop wasting my time.
Ivy opened her mouth, and then the shouting began. Selena's death mask offered an analysis of how long it'd take the museum guards to approach. 1 minute.
"I thought you disabled the alarms,"
Ivy hissed, the vines along her hands now roving up her arms. Selena scowled beneath the helmet, shifting her bullwhip to her right hand.
"I did."
Someone had been waiting then, anticipating this robbery. Her mouth dried out, though something like lightning shot through her veins.
75-25 and that's it,
Selena said, tossing the whip over her shoulder and lunging for the painting. Alarms screamed as she hauled the small frame off the wall, yanking out a piece of canvas from the folded satchel tucked into her utility belt to carefully wrap around the century-old painting. No point in stealing the damn thing if she destroyed it on her way out. Selena tucked the painting into her satchel, nestling it amid a cocoon of padding. Another reason why she'd picked this painting, it was small enough to be easily transported. Her lenses picked up a flurry of movement, not from the hallways beyond, but from Ivy in front of her. Selena lifted her head in time to duck, unnecessarily. Ivy snickered as she lobbed a gold-rimmed purple flower to the nearest archway, the blossom the size of a softball. Pale green smoke rippled out from its center.
"Fancy," Selena told her.
Ivy's grin was a slash of white.
"Better hope that mask has a gas filtration system."
It did. Selena only pointed to the small staff door tucked into the corner, unlocked, no doubt thanks to Ivy's own entrance.
"If you run like your mouth, we'll get out of here in one piece."
Ivy didn't bother to reply as she turned toward the staff-only door and bolted. Selena sprinted after her, satchel bobbing at her side, the bullwhip in one hand while she glanced back. Right as the guards came barreling through the spores leaking from that flower, coughing, she lingered at the door for a heartbeat, just in time for them to get a glimpse of her, the suit, and the empty spot where the painting had been. Just in time for Selena to sketch a bow. Right as the guards inhaled that green smoke, likely custom-made by Ivy in her lab from whatever combination of plants, and collapsed onto the parquet floor.
"Fancy and effective,"
Selena admitted as she shoved through the door and charged after Ivy into the labyrinth of staff passages. Nyssa and Talia would approve. Sirens cleaved the night, but Selena's suit fed her the intel she needed. Heading toward the museum, not after them as they escaped into the nearby quiet, posh neighborhood full of embassies and old money residences. The last place any sane criminal would flee to, considering the security cameras mounted on every building, the guards posted at every other entrance, which was why they kept to the rooftops. Ivy had no issue scaling the building behind the museum using the fire escape, and apparently no problems with cardio or heights as she kept pace with Selena, leaping without hesitation over the distances between buildings. They made it 3 blocks before a particularly large gap appeared, large enough to merit careful consideration on how to take the jump. Selena slowed, panting lightly, lungs barely needing to push themselves. Ivy's breathing was heavier, her eyes bright. Selena studied the gap, the cop cars that had just arrived at the museum illuminating the night sky behind them in flickers of blue and red. The lights cast Ivy's hair in varying hues of deep crimson and purple, the silky strands ruffling past her face in the cool night breeze. No sign of the little flowers, as if they'd ducked into the safety of her hair.
"Too far,"
Ivy observed around gasps for air, studying the gap. Take the drain pipe down. That would take too long and take them too far from where she needed them to be. So Selena shook her head, flicking her wrists to free the claws in her suit. Ivy flinched, backing away a step. Her left hand went to a pocket in her bodysuit with curling pink petals poking out of it. Selena didn't care to find out exactly what that flower could do. She gestured with her claws to the gap. For climbing, she said, and wriggled her fingertips. Strange to have to explain herself, her methods. Strange, Selena realized, to have become something, someone, who required explaining. A wraith, a ghoul. She'd given up everything to wear that title, that skin. She hadn't realized just how far it might separate her from others, that she might become other herself. But Ivy blinked, hand lowering from the botanical surprise she kept in her pocket.
You can't make that jump.
I've cleared worse. Not a lie.
Selena backed up on the roof, calculating the distance, the speed she'd need to clear the gap and land safely. She'd never considered that those long, all-out runs she'd done for the vault in gymnastics might be a training of another sort. Not until the league. Selena stopped at the farthest edge of the roof and glanced to Ivy.
You want in? Then you'd better learn to keep up.
Then she was sprinting toward the roof edge, body falling back into muscle memory, into the training she'd had pounded into her bones, her breath.
Show off,
Ivy groused as Selena sprinted past. Arms in formation, legs eating up the distance, body bracing for the leap. Clear the ravine. A cold, unruffled order. Selena had glanced between Nissa Al Ghul and the ravine that cleaved the two granite mountains. All around them, the unforgiving towers of the Dolomites watched as unfeelingly as her teacher. The five other acolytes, mercifully, seemed to hesitate. Nissa only lifted a tanned, scar-flecked hand and pointed to the narrow ledge and a path across the ravine.
The way home lies over there. The path behind you is closed.
A hard, brutal smile, the opposite of the sleek, coy smirks of her elder sister, Talia.
Clear the ravine, or live here.
Or die at the bottom far below. Selena's palms turned sweaty, her breakfast churning in her stomach. The other acolytes, all of them in the league's black battle suits, began sizing up the gap, the angle, the wind. She'd learned as much about the other girls as she could, their movements, their reflexes, their height and weight and favored weapons. The real details, the ones that mattered, none of them shared that information. Where they came from, what life they'd led that had brought Talia Al Ghul to come knocking. All Selena knew was that they hailed from all over the world. The boys, apparently, were trained elsewhere. And Anaya, the acolyte standing beside her, had come from India. She spoke even less than Selena, though she had been here for 2 months before Selena arrived at the sprawling, luxurious compound deep in the mountains. If Selena had anything close to an ally here, it was Anaya. She was the only one who ever sat beside Selena at the mess hall or paired with her in classes, never through any voiced request or invitation, but just a silent, steady presence that often made other acolytes think twice before pushing either of them.
When the sun sets, Nissa went on in English, her accent lilting, the temperature will drop below freezing. I have no plans to be here when it does.
But you will be, she didn't need to add.
Then Nissa launched into a sprint, her slim body eating up the rocky ground, black hair tied back in a tight braid from her face. Not a pretty face, not like Talia's. Where Talia's was marble-hewn in its perfection, Nissa's had been carved from granite. And like the granite peaks around them, Nissa's stride never faltered, never showed any sign of emotion beyond that cool brutality. It was set in the same expression as she hurtled for the ravine ledge and leapt. No ropes, no equipment, nothing beyond icy will.
The acolyte from Eastern Europe swore in some Slavic language, Serbian perhaps, recognizing the languages of the world, another course of instruction. Nissa soared over the gap, body arcing perfectly. The only bit of beauty the Al Ghul half-sister would ever have in the precision of her movements. She made it look easy, landed with a crunch of rock and a smooth roll that flowed into a standing position. Selena couldn't help the half-smile that curved her mouth as Nissa leaned against a boulder, crossed her arms, her battle suit dusty from the landing, and waited. Selena didn't look at the other opponents, didn't engage in the silent battle of who would go first, of whether it would be foolish to do so, or if it would earn them a kernel of Nissa's respect, or if the one who went last would be deemed cowardly or smart to study the other's mistakes and learn from them. Selena turned, stalking back to the exact point from which Nissa had launched herself into that run, gave herself a few more feet beyond it. She studied the faint path of footprints Nissa had taken, the angle of the jump. Beside her, Anaya did the same. And her sort of ally murmured, too softly for the other girls to hear, "They might try to spook us when we run." She was right, likely by shouting, maybe even stepping into their path, and no one would punish them for it. No, Nissa would likely reward them. Another bit of training, not to lower your guard, Nissa would say. They were all merely instruments to carry out the League's mission. Better to weed out defective ones before sending them into the field. Survival of the fittest. Biology had been one of her favorite classes. It seemed the League took Darwinism to another level. Nissa still waited, arms crossed over her chest. Someone had to make a move. Even from the distance, Selena could have sworn the woman's eyes met hers, full of challenge and invitation. She'd jumped and run across rooftops with the leopards, hauling TV sets and other stolen goods. Then the drop had been 30 feet, not 300, but no less lethal. And perhaps it was the thought of those leopards she'd left behind a month ago, but Selena murmured to Anaya, "Go. Now. I'll block for you." Warning flared in Anaya's rich brown eyes, her long black hair fluttering in the fierce wind roaring through the peaks, a test of trust. Selena only held the other girl's gaze, steady and calm. "Now," she repeated, as the four acolytes began to approach, smiling faintly. Yeah, they'd try to spook them, trip them. With a shallow nod, Anaya sucked in a breath and launched into a sprint. A blonde acolyte moved first, scooped up a small rock to throw, discreet and tiny enough to go unseen as her arm cocked back. Selena grabbed another stone, slinging it out, slamming right into the blonde's arm, forcing her fingers to splay and drop the rock that had been aimed for Anaya. Anaya hurtled down that narrow path. The acolyte from Serbia moved next, lunging toward Anaya's path to force her to dodge sideways, to lose traction. Selena was on her before Anaya could register the movement. The Serbian acolyte let out a grunt of pain as Selena stomped down on her foot. The acolyte's body arced downward, as if she'd grab her own foot, right into Selena's awaiting elbow. She'd done the move 1,000 times in the fighting rings, always followed by her next move, locking the Serbian acolyte's arm and hurling her toward the other two approaching acolytes, as if they were no more than the ropes of the ring, sending the three of them staggering back. Selena didn't wait, didn't give them a moment to recover as she whirled and ran. Anaya soared through the mountain air, the breeze shoving her to the right, but she landed, barely, and scrabbled her way onto the ledge, where Nissa didn't so much as look at her. No, because Nissa was watching Selena as she thundered down the narrow path toward the ravine as the acolytes recovered enough to realize her plan and look for retaliation. She didn't have as much space as Anaya had to make that jump. With the attack, she'd yielded 20 feet. But Selena raced onward, the ledge nearing, the drop beyond beckoning. Pain flared on the side of her head, a starburst of agony. She stumbled a step, but kept going as more hurled rocks landed behind her. She didn't care where the other acolytes had come from, but she knew where she'd been born, where she'd been raised. She wondered if the others knew, if Nissa knew, that the pain was secondary. The pain was an old friend, introduced long before those fights, before the leopards, introduced courtesy of her mother. So the blow to the head did not stop her. It had never stopped her, that kind of pain. And as Selena cleared the ledge and leapt, throwing herself a bit farther left to account for the gusting of the wind, she only heard the screaming air and the roughness of her breathing, only felt the bitter cold and the warmth of the blood trickling down the side of her face. The opposite ledge was too far, still too far. Every nerve in her body came screaming awake as she slammed into the edge of the cliff, half on, half off. Gravity hauling her down. Anaya lunged for her, but Nissa held out an arm, blocking her path. Selena's nails broke and screamed in agony as she dug them into the rock. But where Nissa had refused to help, nature threw her a bone. A rise in the stone with enough of a jutting lip that her hands latched on and held and held. Nissa made no move to help Selena as she hauled herself up, arms trembling, head pounding. And when Selena at last had solid ground beneath her, when her temple was dripping blood onto the gray stone as she crawled, panting, from the ledge toward Nissa, she looked up at her instructor. Nissa glanced between her and Anaya. And Selena could do nothing as Nissa shoved Anaya over the cliff edge. Anaya did not scream. There was only silence, and then a thud that echoed over the granite peaks. Selena couldn't move, couldn't do anything other than stare at Nissa, her dark eyes so cold. Nissa offered no explanation. None. Selena cleared the leap between buildings, claws finding purchase in the stone. Metal shrieked and sparked in their wake. But she didn't hear the thud of her body on the metal roof. She heard that thump and crack of Anaya on the ravine floor, and the police sirens were little more than the howling wind through the Dolomites. She uncurled to her feet and looked back toward where Ivy watched, head angled.
"Not bad for a cat," Ivy called.
Selena just blew the dust off her claws. She'd added them to her gloves after she'd returned to the League compound and had the blow to her head cleared by the physician. She'd gone right down to the lab, head still throbbing, inside still utterly numb and quiet, and helped herself to the assortment of blades and metals in the room, left there for acolytes to tinker with. Selena had selected the hardest steel she could find and began to work. Selena gestured to Ivy, reining in the thrill coursing through her.
"Head down, limbs in as tight as you can get."
But Ivy backed away a step, surprise and fear lighting her face. Selena whirled, hand going to her bullwhip. Leaning against the roof doorway behind her, cloaked in shadows, Selena smiled beneath her mask. Ivy called from across the way,
"Keep the painting."
She pointed to the man waiting behind Selena.
"Good luck dealing with him, cat woman."
Then Ivy was gone, running for the door that would lead her down through the building. Selena's death mask sized up the male before her. 6'3", jacked, or at least his bluish-gray metal suit was, and glowing across his broad chest, an emblem in the darkness. A bat. Selena inclined her head in greeting.
"I was wondering when you'd show up, Batwing."
Chapter 10. Luke observed the woman standing before him. Head-to-toe black suit, made from some high-tech material, confident, athletic, skilled, and with the helmet on, Cat Woman was a good way to describe her. The ears on the dark helmet, the oversized lenses, the claws that she'd just retracted after that spectacular jump, even her steps toward him oozed feline grace. The bullwhip, however, promised pain. She was highly trained. He'd realized it from that jump, from what he'd seen when she escaped the museum guards with poison ivy. That was a pairing that made him wince. This stranger before him was bold, fearless, utterly unruffled by his appearance as he pushed off the wall and they stopped perhaps 10 feet from each other. The thief he'd been hunting for.
Return the painting.
He pointed to the small satchel at her right hip.
Say please, she crooned, that helmet of hers making her voice low, raspy.
His suit fed him the details. Her suit was equipped with surprises, but cloaked, as if the material itself was built to avoid scanning. A stealth suit. Only the bullwhip was made of natural materials, unequipped with anything but what met the eye. A signature weapon, no doubt. Definitely no signs of any affiliation with Gotham City's criminal organizations. Luke braced his feet slightly farther apart, centering his weight better, before he demanded,
What's your name?
Her head angled. She remained silent.
You clearly know mine,
he said, adding a hint of charm to the words.
I should know yours.
She was slender, but stood with the sturdiness that spoke of iron-hard muscle beneath. She'd made the jump without any assistance from her suit beyond those claws. Metal, shredding claws. God.
Let's use Ivy's little nickname,
she drawled, and Luke could have sworn he heard laughter in her voice.
Every good criminal in Gotham has a call sign. Let's add this one to the mix.
She examined her claws as if she were looking over a manicure, her bullwhip swaying in the wind.
Catwoman has a nice ring to it.
Give back the painting.
She patted the satchel at her side, then asked,
Where'd you come up with Batwing? Was it because Batman was already taken?
This can go one of two ways. Either you
give back the painting right now, or you take it from me.
A sound that might have been a click of the tongue.
Isn't it wrong for a big, tough man to threaten to hurt a woman?
Holy hell.
I think you lost the right to ask that question when you took the painting.
A girl has got to eat.
Find another profession.
She stalked toward him, a few steps, certainly closer than most of Gotham City's worst dared get. Close enough for him to make a grab for that satchel if he could brave the reach of the bullwhip. Exactly why she did it. A taunt.
If you want stealth, she observed mildly, then that nightlight on your chest isn't very helpful.
Luke ground his teeth, the sound amplified in his helmet.
It's a symbol.
With every word, he sized her up, calculating the space of the roof, the way he'd seen her move, the weight of the painting in that bag.
And symbols have power, she recited. I forgot how boring you self-righteous do-gooders can be.
Luke released a slow breath, counting backward from 10. Temper. His temper was his downfall, Bruce had said. Controlling it was key.
Well, Bruce wasn't here.
As she stretched out her free hand and touched the tip of a claw to the center of the glowing bat symbol on his chest, Luke lunged. Or he tried to. He'd aimed for her arm, intending to whirl her around and pin her to the brick facade of the doorway into the building below. But her arm wasn't there. Fast. She was so fast. And she let her arm and the bullwhip be a distraction while she swept her leg. The world tilted. Luke hit the roof, but rose instantly. Metal on metal clanged through his head, the knight. A 1-2 combination right to his face, those claws now retracted. His head snapped back, and he managed to throw all of one jab before she used the same maneuver he'd intended for her, grabbed his outstretched arm, locking it, and slammed him to the ground. His suit cushioned much of the blow, but however he'd anticipated this night ending, it hadn't been like this. Knocked on his ass. He surged upward, his suit sending him a whirl of analytics on her technique, her calculated moves based on what it had already observed. But she was gone. No, not gone. She'd moved to the corner of the roof and was now peeling from a pole what looked to be a camera. She wouldn't dare. She wouldn't have dared to record this encounter. But the stranger, this cat woman, lifted the camera in salute as she leapt over the edge of the roof. By the time Luke had scrambled for it, ego smarting more than his body, she was gone. The next morning, however, proved that the video footage was not. Striding into the gym at dawn and surveying the neat piles of newspapers along the greeting counter, Luke scowled at the headline blaring above the photo on the front page. "When the bat's away, the cat will play." And there he was, or Batwing was. The shot, he would admit, was brilliant. She'd likely picked a frame from her footage. The photo showed him in the middle of falling, Catwoman's body the portrait of conquering queen as she sent him to the ground. Luke swiped up the newspaper and chucked it into the gym trash bin to land among empty cups of water and cleaning wipes. Not good. Not good at all. The message it would send to the other criminals in Gotham City was precisely why she'd leaked the photos. Luke knew it'd be futile to go to the newspaper to ask who'd sent them. They had an anonymous tip line, and they had clearly struck gold last night. No way they would reveal their source, even if they could. Luke stepped onto a treadmill, punching it up to a flat-out run. He had to get her under control, and fast, before the underworld of Gotham City started to stir. Chapter 11. Selina didn't mind the name, Catwoman, and the papers seemed to adore it too, granting her the front page banner. She was still smiling about it two nights later, especially the little tidbit about how the Fox heir had lost his painting. Maybe she'd swing by her neighbor's apartment later to see how he was coping with the loss. After she completed this job, of course. She'd nearly finished hacking into the cavernous jewelry store's security system to reroute the video cameras to play the same footage on a loop. If only her old social workers could see her now. A different sort of poster girl for the efficacy of Gotham City's at-risk youth program. Selina's smile faded as she stood in the small security office in the back of the enormous multi-level store that occupied half a city block, the alarms disabled, courtesy of a few careful snips from her tiny wire cutters. A broken system, that's what it was, what it had always been. Maggie had only gotten out because of whatever strings or cash Talia had handed over that night. How many other kids never got that chance? Too many. Too damn many. And while the wealthy in this city swathed themselves in jewels and cloistered themselves in penthouses that looked down upon those very slums, kids like Maggie went to school hungry, wore secondhand clothing, and knew, deep down, that no one was coming to help them. "These are the things that you might change," Talia had told her during her weekly one-on-one sessions with each acolyte. "What you will return to upend." And so she had. Not a whisper of trouble arose while Selina prowled over the shining gray floors of the dark store, passing beneath the crystal chandeliers dangling from the arched ceilings, and headed down a level into the fairly plain catacombs below. Navigating the warren of halls was easy. She only had to follow the path of the heavy, grated metal doors. But even mapping out her plan mentally didn't prepare her for the sheer size of the vault as she passed through the last of the metal doors and into the small chamber where it lay, the sole occupant of the room. Hands on her hips, Selina surveyed the sealed vault set into a solid wall of concrete, the puzzle before her. "Try it," it seemed to whisper, as if some great sleeping dragon lay curled behind the vault. "See if you dare." The low hum that had been coursing through her veins earlier turned into a full-throttle electric current. The store had been smarter than the museum about keeping its blueprints and receipts off any kind of database. Holly Vanderhees, of course, had visited this store only yesterday afternoon, but asking too many questions about the vault would have led a trail of breadcrumbs right back to her, which meant going into this robbery more blind than she'd like. But that was part of the thrill, this moment of finding a way in. outsmarting them, as she had from those initial years in the East End. Selena studied the looming vault, studied the solid wall of concrete it had been built into, an empty duffel bag dangling from her hand.
I'm going to do you a favor and avoid a joke about the cat being out of the bag,
Ivy drawled from behind. Selena arched a brow beneath her death mask.
Following me?
Ivy smirked as she approached, clad in the same getup as the other night.
I want my 25%.
You'll get it when the painting goes to market,
Selena said, turning back toward her metal opponent.
Give it a week or two.
Nice spread in the morning paper,
Ivy said, coming to survey the vault at Selena's side.
You didn't seem the type to self-promote.
Selena closed the distance to the vault and ran a gloved hand over the smooth metal of the door. Diamond brushed steel, at least 6 inches thick.
The media is just another weapon to wield, she murmured.
They certainly hadn't asked questions when an anonymous email account had sent the footage of Batwing being laid out flat on a rooftop and losing the priceless painting in the process. Ivy hummed.
I'm sure Batwing's humiliation was just a pleasant side effect.
Selena gave Ivy a sidelong glance, though the woman couldn't see it with the helmet on.
It was.
Selena didn't tell her that it was the message to other criminals that had mattered, the invitation. Instead, she asked dryly,
Why exactly are you here?
Ivy tapped a gloved hand, one that truly seemed wrapped in vines, not cloth, on the brushed metal of the vault.
I want in.
I work alone.
Selena set her small bag on the floor, crouching to open it and yank out a tiny electromagnetic pulse machine. She'd built it herself in one of the League's labs, had designed it to be tiny enough to haul with her. She'd never tested it in the wild, though. Ivy leaned against the wall beside the vault, examining what appeared to be a small pink flower growing out of the material of her glove. Interesting.
Think about it. We team up, split the profits, and take on Gotham City's finest.
You ran when you saw one of Gotham City's finest.
Selena positioned the black rectangular box of the pulse machine by the vault door.
How was I to know you'd hand his ass to him?
So his suit filters out your plant's chemicals, then?
Let's just say that I make a point to stay out of his way.
Ivy waved a hand.
You, though, think of what we could accomplish together.
What's in it for me?
You'd have someone guarding your back. We could hit up bigger targets, make more.
To fund your eco-terrorism plans to save the trees.
To help put an end to the destruction before it's too late, before this planet is nothing but a wasteland. Do you know that both our state and federal government have an overwhelming majority of people working there who believe climate change is a hoax?
And you think attacking them is going to change that?
They can't vote to defund agencies and open up pipelines if they're not around to do it.
Selena frowned up at Ivy.
Or you could make martyrs of them.
Ivy's mouth tightened, her flowers winking out.
They've already done enough damage to the Earth that there might not even be a chance to turn back. Entire ecosystems, gone. Who fights for them? Who makes sure that they get justice?
The same could be said of people. Children, especially, in the East End. Selena made a show of considering.
It seems like you benefit more from being around me than I do with you.
A flash of irritation.
I'm making you an honest offer. Less risks involved in these robberies when you can just gas the place instead of bringing the guards down.
Then why don't I just get myself some canisters of it?
Selena stepped back from the electromagnetic pulse charger.
Because they don't sell my special blend at the store, honey.
Oh?
Ivy smiled down at the vines encasing her hands, and without so much as a flicker of movement, they slithered up her wrists. Selena blinked. Once. Twice.
My toxins are organic compounds, Ivy explained. All plant-based, hybridized, and weaponized, made by yours truly in my lab.
She pulled what looked to be a pink orchid from a pocket.
A signal from me, and this beauty will send you right to sleep.
Well, damn. Selena gave herself a moment to stifle any hint of awe in her voice before she said,
I heard a rumor that you didn't need to bother with fancy flowers, that you can emit those toxins on your own.
Ivy was quiet for a heartbeat as she pocketed the flower once more. Then, a pale emerald smoke began to drift from her, as if it leaked from every pore. It slithered and floated into the air, wending around Selena.
A friend thought throwing flowers might be a cool touch, Ivy said as that green mist swirled between them. But I like to do it the old-fashioned way every now and then.
Selena reined in a curse. How Ivy had done it, why she'd done it, this wasn't the time for those questions, or the right place.
It sounds like I'll never be able to take off this helmet with you, then. Not exactly an ideal working relationship.
Silence. Ivy's smoke faded as quickly as it had come. Beneath her death mask, Selena smiled and let Ivy work for it a little more as the woman went on.
There's never been a duo of ladies to take on Gotham City. All the bosses are male.
That makes it sound like they'd want to put us down the moment we step onto their turf.
You beat the shit out of Batwing.
Those vines slithered down Ivy's wrists to wrap around her hands again, as tight as any glove.
They might think twice.
Selena again made a show of considering, fingers hovering over the dials on the machine's top.
All right, she said slowly, and Ivy grinned. But I want one more member.
Ivy's deep red brows rose.
I want Harlequin.
Selena hit the button, a low electric hum surging through the room, hollowing out her ears, even with the suit. Metal groaned. Ivy's pale face went even whiter.
Why?
Selena set down the control box and strode over to the now ajar vault door.
Because we won't last long without her.
The flowers on Ivy's living gloves snapped shut again.
Harley can be unstable.
Selena hauled open the vault door, revealing stacks and stacks of cash.
Beautiful. Harley is not only daring when it comes to tactics, but she's also skilled with firearms and explosives.
I know,
Ivy said quietly. Selena pretended not to have anticipated that softness in her voice.
But what Harley also offers is her relationship history.
Ivy's eyes turned to chips of ice.
You mean the Joker?
Selena began dropping stacks of cash into her open bag and asked innocently,
Is there someone else?
No.
Ivy added tightly,
But he's locked up for life in Arkham.
Along with some of his most notorious cronies.
Ivy stormed up to her side as Selena kept depositing stacks of cash in the bag.
You're out of your mind if you're thinking of tangling with the Joker.
I'll be tangling with Harley, and her status as the Joker's main squeeze.
Again, that ripple of cold anger on Ivy's face, the tightening of those vines on her hands, perhaps to the point of pain.
We'll make any other criminals in this city think twice before crossing us. I don't have the time or interest in dealing with their petty bullshit.
Ivy blinked, but she began helping to haul stacks of cash into Selena's bag. After a moment, she said,
Harley's always game for a little anarchy.
You know her personally, then?
A casual, calculated question, and a total lie. She'd read up on both of them, their fraught relationship, their history, more than friends, yet not. The particulars of it, who wanted something more than friendship and who didn't, whether Harley's former relationship with the Joker played a role in that, remained murky. She doubted it was information either of them publicly shared. Knowing where to strike emotionally, what to manipulate, was another weapon in her arsenal, especially when it came to assembling the team she needed. Despite Harley's history with the Joker, She operated on her own now. Ivy, too. Precisely the sort of criminals she required. Independent. Unafraid. Why the League hadn't recruited them yet was beyond her.
It's none of your business,
Ivy grumbled, exactly as Selena had predicted. Ivy scowled and went on.
Harley's been restless since Batman, Batwing, and all those other do-gooders threw half of Gotham's criminals behind bars,
including the Joker.
But she won't join our little crime ring without some sort of enticement.
Selena knew that, had anticipated that. Selena squeezed one last wad of cash into the bag before zipping it shut. She slid another bag toward Ivy in silent offer. It was hers to fill.
I'll make her an offer she can't refuse.
Ivy began filling her own duffel and asked tightly,
which is?
Selena slung the bag over her shoulder, letting her balance adjust to its weight.
I'll get the Joker out of Arkham.
A greenish pallor overtook Ivy's face, and Selena doubted it had anything to do with the fact that she was partially plant-based herself.
That's impossible.
Some would have said making a fool of Batwing was impossible.
Ivy shoved cash into her duffel.
The Joker needs to stay behind bars.
Selena could have sworn Ivy's hands trembled slightly.
His kind of anarchy isn't the kind that...
She shook her head, red hair flowing.
It's not the kind I like, or want.
He doesn't care about the trees.
Ivy cut her a glare.
He's a bad man.
People believe the same of us.
Another fierce shake of the head.
I want to help the planet. He...
She went back to shoving cash into her duffel.
There are no lines for him. He's soulless.
Well, you'd better get off your high horse, because if you want a cut of the millions we stand to make,
Selena jostled her cash-heavy duffel for emphasis,
I'll only do it with Harley as our third.
Ivy stared her down for a moment.
Where did you even come from?
A neighborhood 2 miles north, but Selena just shrugged and said,
some might ask the same of you. You graduated from college at 19, just last year. A prodigy at botany, toxins, and biochemical engineering.
No pride in Ivy's face at the words. No shame, either. Just wariness. So Selena asked,
why'd you decide not to go to grad school?
Ivy finished with her bag, zipped it up, and strode out.
Some things happened that made it impossible for me to go.
The icy, distant tone offered no space for questions. Selena stepped out of the vault, listening for any signs of alarms, of the police. Nothing. She asked carefully,
how'd you get into science anyway?
Another hesitant pause. But then Ivy said, emerging from the vault,
my mom was a scientist, Dad too, before they both got offered mega jobs and fat paychecks by a drug company. Turns out their love of science was as shallow as the rest of them.
Wealthy, emotionally distant parents. How had they even produced someone as passionate as Ivy? Together, Selena and Ivy stalked up the stairs, the bag of cash weighing heavily on Selena's back.
What sort of science did they study before they changed careers?
Plant regeneration. They met in the lab, called me a lab baby thanks to it.
A slight smile.
It was only a matter of time until the drug companies came sniffing. They sold their work to the highest bidder and never once looked back at the science stuff or at me.
Selena could think of quite a few countries that might be interested in that sort of science, too.
I'm sorry.
Brutal. No matter the training that had been instilled into her, it didn't lessen how hard it must have been, and still was, for Ivy. Ivy shrugged, as if it could somehow erase the weight of her past.
My aunt basically raised me after they sold out. She encouraged me to take all the science classes that I wanted, but it got boring, even in college.
A short pause, as if debating what to say, how much to say. Selena kept still and quiet, giving her space to decide. Ivy pulled out a flower, a yellow bloom this time, and studied it.
So my last semester in college, I signed up to work with a scientist on a more radical experiment regarding the human connection to plants.
Selena had a horrible feeling she knew where this was headed. Ivy pocketed the flower.
Turned out, I was the test subject.
Her green eyes turned hard as stone.
To explore the possibility between human-plant hybrids.
What happened? Selena's question was a push of breath. Ivy's smile turned a bit cruel.
I happened, and the lead scientists learned exactly what someone like me could do once they applied their sciences to my body. Their first and last successful experiment.
Ivy studied the vines on her hands.
I realized soon afterward that as awful as it was, maybe it had happened for a reason. Maybe it had happened so I might use these powers,
she stumbled over the word,
to help our planet, try to right it from its current collision course.
Selena didn't shy from the mirror she now saw before her. Two clever young women taken and molded into something else, something worse. But she wouldn't tell Ivy that, not yet. Instead, Selena said,
So the life of crime beckoned.
Life beckoned,
countered Ivy, following Selena toward the back door she'd used to slip inside.
I was 19 and had never gone to a party, had never kissed a girl I liked, had never done anything, and they had taken it all away from me.
Understandable, completely understandable. Selena asked Riley,
And now you do all that?
She heard, more than saw, Ivy's smile.
Definitely the girl-kissing part.
Selena snickered.
Priorities.
She quietly shut the metal door as they stepped into the alley behind the behemoth store, the street in the heart of the shopping district near silent on either end. Ivy lifted a brow at the shut door.
You going to leave a calling card, or should I?
Selena flicked out the claws on her glove. Screeching metal and two slashes of her nails down the back door was her only answer. Claw marks. Ivy studied Selena's handiwork.
Simple but efficient.
Selena sheathed her claws. Motion down the alley triggered her helmet's warning system, and she whirled. Night bright eyes, silent feet, an upright tail came into view around a sagging cardboard box. Ivy followed Selena's line of vision and snorted.
Relative of yours?
Selena smiled beneath her helmet and crouched as the small alley cat approached, her gray coat blending into the shadows. Selena extended a gloved hand, and the cat sniffed at it, whiskers twitching.
You're too thin, friend,
she told the cat, ignoring Ivy's question, and scratched the cat under her little chin.
I feel like I should be taking photos of this,
Ivy said. The cat pulled her face away, and Selena ran a hand down her slender spine, the cat arching into the touch.
I thought you loved animals.
I do, Ivy said, but I didn't expect you to.
The cat, satisfied by the attention, scampered off into the alley. Selena rose, watching the cat disappear into the darkness.
I always wanted a pet. Never had one.
Why?
She couldn't answer that, not when it required explaining so much, too much. Secrecy was vital, another weapon, even among allies.
I moved around a lot, was never settled enough to get one.
Not entirely a lie, but she'd had her hands full those years, and a pet, no matter how much Maggie had pleaded for a cat, was another mouth to feed. Vet bills could add up. It hadn't been responsible to get a pet, still wasn't.
We should go, Selena said, scanning the dark skies above. I disabled the alarms, but someone might spot us.
Ivy pointed a thumb over her shoulder, down the alley.
I'm that way.
Selena lied and pointed with her chin in the other direction.
I'm that way.
Ivy nodded once.
How do I get in touch with you?
You've been stalking me for 2 nights. Seems like you have no problem finding me.
Ivy laughed again. Use this number to give me a heads up on your next target. She pulled a piece of paper from one of her bodysuit's pockets. It's a burner phone, but I'll have it for a few more days. Selena took the paper, gloves scratching.
Get Harley on board, or don't bother to show up.
Ivy gave her a mocking salute and lifted her heavy bag.
Thanks for the payday.
Selena didn't leave until Ivy had vanished into the shadows, her steps fading away.
A long night ahead, and she was just getting started.
Chapter 12. Seated in bed, bracing for another sleepless night, Luke stared at his phone like it was about to bite him.
Bruce, everything all right over there? He'd seen the headline. Bruce might be on a vital mission, but there was no way he wasn't keeping tabs on his city, their city. Luke slid the phone over to himself, unplugging the charger, and typed back, "Nothing to worry about." He conveniently forgot to mention that tonight he'd found himself staring at two slash marks on a jewelry store door, the cache of money and jewels stolen. Wiped clean, except for some of the lesser-priced pieces. Someone with a discerning eye. Or oversized lenses. No one harmed, at least. But when the frantic store owner had seen the claw marks, he started shouting at him about why someone hadn't put a leash on this catwoman. Bruce's typing bubble popped up. Let me know if you need anything.
Luke wouldn't. Not just because Bruce was on a mission, but because he wanted to handle this on his own. He typed back, "Will do." Luke debated asking how the mission was going, but he and Bruce had never really engaged in small talk, hadn't been the sort of friends who watched a game together, though they certainly had shared a few drinks at various galas they were obligated to attend as sons of Gotham City. Sometimes Luke felt as if they were both already old men, weary and jaded and worn at the edges. So Luke set down his phone, plugged it back in, and switched off the light. The piece of art Catwoman had stolen was insured, but the fact that she'd not only evaded the trap he'd laid, but had done it so publicly, he gritted his teeth. He'd find another way to snare her, and learn who was beneath that helmet. Selena bustled out of her apartment around 11 in the morning, as befitted someone with nothing to do with their time, the shopping bags dead weights in her hands. Considering that the shoeboxes stacked inside were full of cold, hard cash and jewelry, she was praying they didn't break on her way to her safe deposit box at the bank. The door across the way opened. Selena debated turning right back around and pretending to be coming in when Luke Fox appeared. She instantly settled into Holly's persona, tossing her hair over a shoulder. He was the portrait of casual, graceful money in his white fitted polo, immaculate above gray slacks. A pair of sunglasses shielded his eyes, but he politely lifted them atop his head as he surveyed the bags.
Coming in?
Was that a note of hope she detected in his voice, to avoid riding in the elevator with her? Selena gave him a simpering smile.
Going out, she clarified, lifting the bags, the tissue paper covering the boxes rustling. Need to return and exchange a few things.
He gave her a look that said it seemed she had a lot of things to haul with her, not a few. But ever the gentleman, he asked,
Can I carry your bags to your car?
She was tempted to say yes, because Holly certainly would, but if he was as smart as everyone claimed he was, then he'd no doubt realize that the weight of the bags didn't add up to a few pairs of shoes.
I've got it, thank you.
She made a show of hefting the bags.
Good workout.
He gave her a bland smile before striding for the elevator, pushing the button in silence. She followed him, trailing at a casual pace.
Are you going to the Save the Bees gala tomorrow?
Seats started at 10 grand a plate. Luke glanced sidelong at her as the elevator shot up the building.
Maybe.
Oh, he really didn't like her. She gave him what she called her Holly smile, coy, aware, self-obsessed.
And will you turn me down again if I ask you to dance?
Maybe.
Is that the only word you know? Maybe?
Something close to humor danced in Luke's eyes as he met her gaze head on and drawled,
Maybe.
Perhaps not as completely arrogant as she'd thought. Despite herself, Selena laughed quietly. Her fingers were starting to go numb from the weight of her bags, and she was grateful for the ding of the elevator as the doors opened and they strode in. She leaned against the railing, setting the bags down lightly, to avoid the clunk that was sure to sound if she dropped them.
I heard about your painting being stolen, she said, unable to resist. I'm sorry.
Luke slid his hands into his pockets.
It's fine. Worse things happen to people in this city every day.
She avoided the urge to blink. Definitely not the answer she'd expected.
You were in the army, right?
A vapid, light question, if only to get them back on equal footing. And an entirely wrong question to ask, from the way his back stiffened. Sore subject, then. But Luke said,
The Marines.
She batted her eyelashes.
Is there a difference?
His jaw clenched.
Yeah, there is.
She knew there was, and part of her writhed under the vapid, inane weight of being Holly. They reached the basement, and Luke was truly enough of a gentleman to hold the elevator doors while she swept out, aiming for the black Mercedes her driver had left for the weekend. A click of her fob had the trunk opening, revealing a pristine interior. Luke headed toward the gray Porsche beside her car. He paused as he opened the door, as if the manners drilled into him yanked on his leash.
Enjoy your shopping,
he said tersely.
Selena waved a manicured hand. Enjoy your whatever you're doing.
He slid into his car.
Brunch with my parents, as Sunday tradition.
Another surprise? It didn't sound like a chore when he said it. For a moment, she debated telling him that he was lucky, luckier than he knew, that he had parents who loved him, wanted to see him. She debated scratching her key deep into the side of what was surely his beloved car, just for the fact that he had parents who gave a shit. She hadn't bothered to look her mother up once, didn't want to know. Even with the league's resources, she didn't want to know what her mom was doing, where she was, if she was even alive. And her father was a dead end. She sometimes wondered if he knew that he had a daughter, and if he did, would he even care? At least Maggie was safe, cared for, in her new home in the suburbs. Even if all of this, what Selena was doing in Gotham City, meant that she had to stay far, far away from her sister. It didn't make it any easier, though. Pathetic. She was absolutely pathetic for thinking such things. For that quiet, distant ache that still lurked deep in her chest. For the rage that made her want to put on her league gloves, flick open those claws, and start shredding. Luke turned on the car, its thunderous roar filling the garage. It sounded an awful lot like the bellowing in her head. Selena kept her face neutral as she slid into her own front seat and found him waiting, stalling. It took her a moment to realize Luke was waiting for her to leave, to make sure she got out of the garage safely. A bit of an arrogant rich kid, but still a gentleman. She gave him another inane wriggle of her manicured fingers before backing out of the spot, carefully, like how a rich woman unused to driving herself might maneuver the vehicle. Not the graceful swoop her muscles screamed at her to do. The driving lessons on the deadly S-curves of Italian roads had been one of Selena's favorite parts of training at the League. She inched along, out of the garage, Luke finally pulling his Porsche out to follow. He rode on her tail, as if he could barely keep the car from containing its impatience. She debated letting her own vehicle roll back to tap his as she ascended the ramp onto the busy, sunny street, but it'd mean a delay in getting the money to the bank and the possibility of getting her trunk opened up. So she merely turned right while he went left, watching him vanish around a corner in her side-view mirror. Perhaps she'd have to do something about him, make sure his apartment became unavailable to him, because having someone around asking questions, especially if he was a trained Marine, was not good. She'd think about that later. The alley in the Coventry district that night was quiet, secure.